certain. It kind of follows along with the issue of Thomas. And Thomas had to see something before he would believe it. As I've been at home along with all you and listening, going to work and listening to the radio, I hear this phrase over and over again. And these uncertain times. And these uncertain times. Yes, we don't know when we could get back to normal. And we don't even know what normal will be. We don't know when we might have our work hours restored, or our pay restored, or maybe even our jobs restored. We don't know when we can get out of our house. I think that's going to come soon. I know that these things will pass. But there's a lot of uncertainty, and people are using that as advertising. The issue is that when we start dwelling on all the uncertain things in our life, we can get discouraged. We could actually get depressed because we want some routine. We want some normalcy. We want some things that we can act on. And we want something that's physical. So that's like being like Thomas. We have to have something physical before we believe that we're going to get out of this. There are a lot of things that are uncertain today. But I will tell you, based on the authority of God's word, that God is certain. God is certain. You know, the first thing is that God's promises are certain. God's promises are certain because they are confirmed. Everything that God has said that's going to come true has come true, which gives us faith that the things that He said is going to come in the future will come true also, because they are confirmed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says this. It says, for all, not just some, not the ones that you want to believe, not the ones you can see, but it says, for all the promises of God in Him. Because God can only promise by Himself. He can only swear by Himself because He is the greater one of all. It says, and the Bible says, for all the promises of Him, of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. Yea, because it's going to come to pass. Amen, because it's going to be finished. Unto the glory of God by us. And what we need to understand is in these uncertain times, we need to live as if God is certain. And we sing the song, standing on the promises of God. And do we truly stand on this? Or when things start going wrong, does our faith waver? So we know that the promises of God are certain because they are confirmed. The second thing is we know that the promises of God are certain because God cannot lie. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, it says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to what? Lie. There is no falsehood in the Bible. There is no error in the Bible. There is no falsehood in God. Because He is light. He is truth. He says, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. We might have a strong consolation. Because God's promises are certain. And they are confirmed. Because God's promises are certain. Because God cannot lie. In these uncertain times, we know that God is certain. If we put our trust and faith in Him, He is going to take us through it. It says here, it says, send a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Maybe through this COVID crisis, this might be the time that you have truly sought God. That we are truly seeking Him and seeing His guidance and seeking His protection. I hope that is the case. So God's promises are certain because they are confirmed. God's promises are certain because God cannot lie. And God's promises are certain because they're based on His omnipotent power. His omnipotent power. A very familiar passage that we have gone through several times over the last couple of months is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. The Bible says Peter is addressing all those who are going to read this letter. And it says, grace and peace be multiplied, not just added, but multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. One of the things that this COVID, these uncertain times should do is drive us to learn more about Him. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His what? His divine power hath given unto us all things. Not only has He given us all promises that are yea, not only are those things He cannot lie, but He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that had called us to glory and virtue. If there's nothing that you take away from this message this morning, is I want you to understand that God is certain and that God's promises are certain. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us great, exceeding great and precious promises. They're bigger than we could possibly imagine. They're more valuable than we could ever put a price tag on. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That is the Christian's calling, is to be partakers of His divine nature. I tell you what, because we're seeing it in our interactions in our family with other people. It's tough right now. It's tough right now because some people aren't acting very godly. Because these times are uncertain. And there's maybe lash out on you. And that's happened to me. It's happened to my wife this week. People are just lashing out. And when it's not our fault at all. It's just people are uncertain. It says, be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So in these uncertain times, I want you to understand that God's promises are certain because they're confirmed. God cannot lie, and they're based on His power. And we know that no man equals the power of God. No government equals the power of God. Satan himself doesn't equal the power of God. So we can be partakers of the divine nature, and that we can escape all this uncertain times through the corruption and lust. So the first thing that's certain is that God's promises are certain. The second thing is spiritual truths are certain. I'm going to give you seven examples of spiritual truth. The first one's found in the book of in the book of John chapter 4. It's the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman. She goes to the well. God asks her to give Him a drink. And then that leads to a spiritual conversation. If you need the water that I can give you, you'll never thirst again. And she says, hey, the patriarchs dug this well. Jacob dug this well. And then there's this religious discussion. And then God reveals her past life. And she comes to a knowledge that she's before the Savior of the world. She's actually standing in front of the Messiah that people were looking for. And those times that they were living in were very uncertain. So in John chapter 4, verses 41 through 42, it says, many more believed because of His own word and said to the woman, now we believe. And she went to the city. She went to the city after she had her encounter with Christ and said, you know, you need to come out here and see the Messiah. I have met Him. I have seen Him first. I know for sure that He's the Messiah. And said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves. And know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
Amen.
In these uncertain times, one thing you can know for sure is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And I hope you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I hope at one time in your life you asked Christ to forgive your sins. You realized that He died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried, He resurrected the third day, and now He sits in heaven waiting to judge the world, and that He offers eternal life. I hope you believe His promise. I go and prepare a place for you. So one spiritual truth that we know is certain, and anyone who believes in Christ knows is certain, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. In the book of Acts, it says there is salvation in none other name, none other name but Jesus. Secondly, Job. Now, you talk about living in uncertain times. You talk about going through some trouble. Job has his wealth taken away. He has his family taken away. He has his wife telling him, why don't you just curse God and die? And then to make matters worse, he has these four friends that come to try to help him. And all they're doing is condemning him. And Job, yeah, some friends they are. But in uncertain times, you can trust on a certain God.
Amen.
And so, in the midst of all this trouble that Job was going through, he stood on the spiritual truth. In Job chapter 19, verse 25, he says this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth."
Amen.
"And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth."
Amen.
Man's not going to bring peace. Man's not going to bring righteousness. Man's not going to be a cure for all these ills. One day in the future, because we know God's promises are certain, Christ is going to come down and we're going to come with Him.
Amen.
And He's going to set up a 1,000-year reign on this earth. And then there's going to be another judgment. And then this earth is going to be gone. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Job was before the time of Christ. But Job knew that Christ was coming. Job knew that God's promises were true because they're confirmed. They were confirmed in his life. He knew that God couldn't lie and they were based on His power. Job knew that one day Jesus Christ was going to come and die on the cross. And Job knew that one day Christ will come back. And we know that too. So in these uncertain times when there is no hope, I know that Jesus Christ is is the Savior of the world. I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
We don't serve a dead idol. We don't serve a dead prophet. We serve the living God. I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today.
Amen.
I know that He is living, whatever man may say.
That's right.
Amen. So we know that one truth is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. The second truth is I know that my Redeemer lives. The third truth is that if you have a personal relationship with Christ and you truly believe in Him, you will see God one day. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. John was one of those who ran to the empty tomb. And in the account, John believed. But he still had his doubts. Peter said, I don't know about this. But they come back and they tell the disciples. But then John has the unique thing of having God reveal what's going to happen in the end times. John has the unique thing of going through all this stuff. And then he writes the book of 1 John, the letters to the general letter to the churches. And in chapter 3, verse 2, John writes this. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." In this uncertain time, I want you to understand, for everyone who believed in Christ, you're the son of God right now.
Amen.
You're a child of God. That's something you could take to the bank because it's certain. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know what's going to happen next week. We don't know if we're going to be able to go eat in a restaurant or whatever the case may be. But you know something? It doesn't matter, because what happens in the end of our life is the most important thing. It says, but we know that when he shall appear, and for us that's the rapture. For us that's the rapture. We shall be like him.
Amen.
No more sickness. No more pain. No more death. For we shall see him as he is. Folks, in these uncertain times, I want to give you a spiritual truth. If you believe in Christ, you will see him. You will be able to stand before God and worship him. What a hope. What a hope that will be. The fourth spiritual truth is that we have spiritual life. In that same chapter, in the book of 1 John, verse 14, it says, We know that we have passed from death unto life. In the next chapter, he says, we love God not because we first loved him, but because he first loved us. And that perfect fear, perfect love casteth out what? All fear and all uncertainty. This is the same book written by the same man. He got it. He got it. He says, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. You know, I hope that through these uncertain times it's caused you to love your family more. I hope that in this uncertain time it's caused to love your church family more and to appreciate. I'm looking forward to the time that I don't preach to a bunch of empty chairs. But the issue is that we love the brethren. And it says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And there's still uncertainty in their life. We know that Jesus is the world. I know that my Redeemer lives. He gives us spiritual life, and that we will see Christ one day. The fifth, a very familiar passage. We've seen it over and over and over again, that God will keep us. He's going to get us through this. He's going to get us through this because he's a certain God in uncertain times. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he says, for this which cause also I also suffer these things. We're going through some suffering right now, aren't we? We're not being able to do the things that we want to do. But you know something? I'm finding out that some of those things aren't really important. It says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Amen.
You know, you can put your faith in the medical profession. And I appreciate all those who are working on the front lines, first responders and medical professionals working to get people through this COVID process. And I ask God that richly bless them. But the issue is that if you know Christ, you know he's going to get you through this. And we're going to stand in front of him. And it says, and persuaded he will keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You know what we need to do in this time? In these times of uncertainty, we need to commit to the certain God. We need to commit to the certain God. Next, believers have a future body. Maybe during this time you said, I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to lose some weight. You know, I'm going to wash my hands more. I'm going to do all these things. And those are all good things. But you know something? Here's a spiritual truth. One day we're going to get a new body. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. And I can see things again. And my wife says, hallelujah, she'll be able to hear things again. Okay? The issue is that for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, our bodies were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal, in the heaven. And what does eternal mean? Never end.
That's it.
Never end.
Amen.
So that's a spiritual truth that we have something to look for. And that should give us hope. You know, a lot of people are struggling with this uncertainty because there's no hope. And we said that these are one of the things that we can do to live in the extreme, to look at keeping our spirit in check. We need to understand all the promises that God has given us. And then lastly, that all things work together for good. Last Sunday night, we preached out of Philippians chapter 3, or Acts chapter 16. And it talks about when Paul showed up at Philippi, he found Lydia and was living in her house. And then he cast out this devil out of this young woman. And that caused all the people who managed her, because she brought them money by soothsaying, and threw the entire town into an uproar. Folks, in uncertain times, things go into an uproar. And now there's people that are protesting what all these things going on. It's not all peace and tranquility out there. In uncertain times, there is chaos. And so they bring Paul and Silas to the magistrates, and the magistrates rip their clothes off, and they basically, everybody's in a riot mode. And they beat Paul and Silas, and they throw them in the inner jail. And in the midnight, they are singing psalms, and they're praying to God. And there's a great earthquake, and the doors are open, and their shackles fall off. But none of the prisoners leave. That's a miracle in itself. And the jailer comes in, who probably didn't want to be bothered with Paul and Silas. They probably didn't. Yeah, I just want to get on with my life. He has to deal with these two. And he comes in and he asks this question: what must I do to be saved? Amen. And I guarantee you that Paul and Silas said, you know, our beating, our imprisonment was worth it. Because this man's coming to Christ. Not only did he come to Christ, but his entire house came to Christ. And God blessed him, blessed them through the jailer.
Right.
And I am sure that Paul remembered that. And he also remembered Ephesus. And he also remembered all the cities in which he was beaten and stoned. And then later on, when he writes the book, when he writes a letter to the Romans, he says this. Romans 8:28. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's a spiritual truth, folks. And I keep on saying that we need to look for opportunities during this time to share the gospel. We need to look for opportunities during this time, these uncertain times, to help one another and show the love of Christ. We need to show calmness and peace in uncertain times, that people will say, well, why is this not bothering you as much as it's bothering me? Because we know that these seven spiritual truths, and there's so much more. There's so much more that's true. All of God's word is true. All of his promises are certain, that we could go and we can share this. And we can stand on these things. So we know that God's promises are certain. We know that spiritual truths are certain. And then my last point today is that our spiritual growth should be certain. Our spiritual growth should be certain. Now we can get to Philippians chapter 3, and we can start looking at verse 13. What we need to do for spiritual growth. And this is what God wants to do. I guarantee you, if you allow God to direct your life, if you allow God to direct your path, if you do what the psalmist wrote, you will grow spiritually. In these uncertain times, you turn your back on God, you're not going forward, you're going backward. You're not growing up, you're going the other way. So in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, Paul writes, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Now this word apprehended means this: to take hold on, to basically to hold fast to comprehend, to understand, to act on it. So Paul is sitting there saying, hey, he says, I count not myself to apprehend. He says, I don't know everything that God's got in store for me in the rest of my life. I don't know what's going to happen to me, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Yeah. Folks, let's not talk about the good old days. The good old days are gone. Our old man is gone. And we need to put on the new man. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What are those things that are before? All of God's promises. Mm-hmm. All of God's truths. Those things we can reach out for, and we may not be able to understand them all right now. We may be like Thomas. But we can try. We can try. And then verse 14, he says, I press. Now, press means this. You give it all of your energy. You give it all of your thought. You give it all of your affection. You give it all of your energy. I press toward the mark. That means you have a goal. That means you have a goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, for all those who let God direct their path and give it all to God at the final judgment, which is also certain,
that's right,
there's a reward waiting. And that should give us a hope. What was Paul talking about? Well, if you go a couple of verses up, in verse 10 he says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. See, Paul is saying, he says, look, he says, I know there's more stuff I need to learn. I know that there's more challenges. I know that there's more uncertainties that I cannot see. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. See, Paul was consistent. He was consistent. It says, not as though I had already attained, verse 12, either were already perfect. Paul himself said, I'm still not mature. I still need to learn stuff. But I follow after that I may also apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. See, Paul knew that God moved heaven and earth to have him saved. Paul knew that God would literally move heaven and earth to allow him to do his ministry. Paul didn't understand it. But he was willing to go in that direction. He was willing in his uncertainty at times to follow the God that is certain. And then he says, I figured this out. He says, if you let God direct your life, you're going to go the right way. And you're going to do the right thing. And so, spiritual growth should be certain. But the way you can have certain spiritual growth is let God direct your path. Secondly, we should become spiritually mature. If you're not more Christ-like today than you were yesterday or last week, the fault is not God. His promises are certain. His truths are certain. The fault is with us. And Paul said, hey, I count not myself as apprehended. There's more I need to learn. And I guarantee you that we don't know it all. Some may think they know it all, but you don't. You don't. And so in verses 15 through 16, Paul says this. He's talking about himself, and then he goes and he talks to the Philippians. He says, remember me? Remember, I was the one that caused the riot. I was the one that caused this jail to be destroyed. I was the one that this Philippian, your jailer, got saved. It changed his life around. His house changed his life around. I was the one that got this all started through God. He says, let us therefore, as many that be perfect. Now, that's not being perfect as in no error. That's being perfect as in the term of complete. The same word that James uses in chapter 1 about being complete or being mature. See, spiritual growth should be certain, and we should become more spiritually mature. We should be more different today, more like Christ today than we were yesterday. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be what? Thus minded. You need to know that on certain times that God's promises are certain. You need to know in uncertain times that God's spiritual truths are certain. You need to understand that in uncertain times that our spiritual growth should be certain. And it says, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, remember what he said? Forgetting those things that are behind. Some people can't let go of the past. Some people can't let go of something that they've done in the past. Say, God can't forgive me of that. Yes, He can. Amen. Because if you say God can't forgive, then He's not God. We need to let go and forget those things. God shall reveal even this unto you. So this morning, not only knowing that God is certain, ask yourself, are you holding on to something in the past that's holding you back? That's keeping you from doing the things that you know God wants you to do. That's keeping you from doing the things that you know God wants you to be the person that He wants you to be. And it's holding you back. Follow what Paul says. Let us therefore, as many as want to be mature, be thus minded. I'm going to forget those things and press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this morning, have God reveal those things in your life. And leave them at the cross. Let them get buried. Verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. Because see, those who believe in Christ, we are positionally justified right now. We are the sons of God. John talked about that. We now are the sons of God. We're not like Him yet, but we will be. If we love the brethren, if we do what God wants us to do, nevertheless, wherefore we have already attained, not only let us have the same mind, But let us walk by the same rule or the same path or the same guidance. Let us what? Mind the same thing, God's holy world. Amen. You want to be spiritually mature? Let God direct your path. You want to be spiritually mature? Be thus minded. Walk by the same rule. Mind the same thing, or pay attention to the same thing. Lastly, be an example. See, that is outward proof of an inward change. People will see what you're doing and say, there's something different about you. And I want people to say that. Paul wanted people to say that to him. You know why? Because that means you're going on the right path. You're minding the same thing. You're walking the same way as Christ walked. So be an example. In verses 17 through 18, he says, brethren, be followers together of me. Now what Paul was not saying here, he said, put me above God. But Paul says, I want to be a godly example to you. And as long as I'm a godly example to you, you need to, that's a good thing for you to do. Because if I can do it, and I'm the chiefest of sinners, you can do it too. See, be followers of me and mark them which walk so as we have us for an example. And so look around and ask, and see if there's others that walk this way. You walk this way. We walk this way. See, that shows spiritual maturity. When people recognize you as a Christian. But if people don't recognize you as being someone that's different, the fault is not God. The fault is you. Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. For many walk. And see what Paul's saying here in verse 18. He says there are a lot of people that say they saw something, but they're not. They say that they're great warriors for Christ, but they're not. Deep inside, they know they're a sham. There's a lot of people out there today in these uncertain times thinking that they're experts, but they're not. It says, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Don't look on the outside. Look on the inside. Because if the inside's right, the outside's right. If the outside is right, but the inside's wrong, you'll see it. John writes this, says, hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Oh, folks, I hope that's not any of us. I hope that's not any of us that are listening to this message via the internet. We need to be genuine. It's what the book of James is all about. Are you genuine this morning? Are you certain? Are you certain? See, we know that God is certain. His promises are certain. Spiritual truths are certain. We should be, our spiritual maturity and our spiritual growth should also be certain. Do you need to change this morning? Do you need Him as your Savior? Are you sure? You're a blood-bought saint. Are you certain? Let's have a word of invitation, or have a word of prayer, and we'll have invitation. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this morning that you help us to be certain, Lord. Certain of our walk, certain of our talk, certain of our mind, have the same mind in us. Father, help us, Lord, to be spiritually mature. Help us, Lord, to grow into the perfect man that you want us to be, the complete man, the mature man. Lord, we thank you for all that you do, and help us to do more for you, especially in these uncertain times. Lord, I ask and ask for your encouragement. I ask for your conviction. Lord, I ask that you just help us to live a godly life, one that will bring glory and honor to you. We give you this time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.